This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor, C3 AI. C3 Generative AI enables rapid access to secure, traceable, hallucination-free insights from enterprise systems, all while using any LLM, helping enterprises turn the invisible into the obvious. Learn more at c3.ai.
The alleged leaker of classified U.S. intelligence documents faces his day in court as the fallout of his disclosures begins to come into focus.
I think there is a fear could hurt relationship with allies and partners and reveal sources and methods.
Plus, a make-or-break day for pension protesters in France, and investors struggle to gauge which way the inflation winds are blowing. It's Friday, April 14th. I'm Luke Vargas with the Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The U.S. airman suspected of leaking classified information is due to appear in a Boston, Massachusetts court today. Jack Teixeira was arrested by the FBI at his Massachusetts home yesterday and is charged with the unauthorized removal and distribution of classified documents. The 21-year-old works in the intelligence unit of the Massachusetts Air National Guard and, according to his service record, is a junior Air Force communications specialist. Though, as Journal national security correspondent Nancy Youssef explains, Teixeira's job title of Cyber Transport Systems Journeyman gives no obvious hint as to why he would have had access to the types of files that were leaked or his motivations.
I'm personally interested in whether one of the driving factors behind the decision by this suspect is that he felt that maybe information about the war was not getting out, information he felt the public had a right to know. And so, because we've seen this in past cases, that leakers have been driven because they feel like the public has a right to know and they're not getting it. And so, I'm curious if that ends up being a case here, because given that we've seen it in past instances.
As we wait to learn more about the motivations behind the leak, the U.S. and its allies are wrestling with what this intelligence disclosure could mean for diplomatic relations. It's a question that I put to Nancy as we take a closer look at the potential fallout.
Well, I think there's a short-term one in terms of how it could affect the war in Ukraine, because some of the documents referred to the composition of the Ukrainian forces and potentially could affect the expected spring offensive. And I think longer-term, they're looking at the effect of it on allies around the world, because the documents weren't just limited to Ukraine. They mentioned the Egyptians, the South Koreans, the Israelis. They gave some indication about sources and methods. And that longer term, I think there is a fear could hurt relationship with allies and partners and reveal sources and methods.
All right, Nancy, so there's an obvious concern here. This could hurt U.S. relationships, not least because these leaks purport to show U.S. intelligence operations in allied countries, for instance, intercepting communications within Israel's Mossad intelligence service, or discussions among members of South Korea's National Security Council. I mean, tell us more about the issues with all of this.
Well, certainly that they were sort of collecting information on allies and partners that maybe some governments themselves aren't surprised by. I think seeing it in the public domain can be surprising. Discussions with allies like the South Koreans about providing more munitions to the war in Ukraine, propositions by governments like Egypt about whether they would do sales to the Russians, things of that sort. So it showed some of the effort by the U.S. to gather information about allies. And I think to most people that's surprising, but I think within government that's there's some level of expectation around that. But just, again, having it out there in the public domain and what the U.S. was saying about it, I think was surprising.
All right, so potentially top secret conversations and information from allies could have been compromised here. What are these governments saying about that? Are they frustrated?
Well, the Egyptians have denied the claims about their attempt to sell information to the Russians. The South Koreans are saying that they weren't planning to sell the number of munitions that were there. Other allies have said that this isn't going to have a long-term impact. So we've heard a variety, some people sort of addressing the document specifically and others addressing the broader relationship with the United States.
Are you picking up on any signs that American adversaries could be trying to sort of exploit this moment for their own advantage, this sense that maybe some U.S. allies don't feel like they can count on the U.S. to look out for their interests and maybe not eavesdrop on them, if you will?
Well, I think presumably the Russians are looking at this really extensively because this could provide details they hadn't seen before about the composition of the Ukrainian forces. So you could imagine that Russia would use it very directly in the war of Ukraine, but adversaries broadly might say this speaks to why the United States is not a reliable partner in terms of intelligence sharing, and maybe say if this is how you treat your friends, America, you know, maybe you're not as strong an ally. If I was an adversary, you can imagine that would be a line that worth considering at least.
Do we have a sense yet of what the specific consequences of all this could be in terms of setting back either relationships or hampering specific objectives?
I think everybody's trying to signal that it won't, but I think we don't really know. One reason these documents are classified the way they are is that there's a feeling that the release of the information could put either sources or troops or others' lives at stake. And if that ends up being the consequence of this leak, you could see that that actually changes how people respond to them. So I think it's too early to say that whether this will have sort of an enduring impact or not. I think the most enduring impact is that it could reshape how some allies share information with the United States in light of this, or at least ask questions about what United States are you doing to better secure classified information.
So finally, Nancy, what is going to determine whether this leak, in a big picture sense, does cause lasting damage to allied relationships, or is the kind of thing that could maybe blow over quickly?
I think it depends on two things, the impact of them longer term, and also if we start to see more documents coming out, and that could change it. So those are the two questions that I think we have to look at going forward. The impact of this leak, if there are future documents that are leaked, and I would just add what message the United States is able to send to allies to assure them that when they provide information to the United States, it is protected and treated delicately.
That was Wall Street Journal national security correspondent Nancy Youssef. Nancy, thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, Florida moves to ban abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy, and protesters in France await a key court decision on whether President Macron's pension reform is lawful. More on that and the rest of the day's news after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI enables rapid access to secure, traceable, hallucination-free insights from enterprise systems, all while using any LLM, helping enterprises turn the invisible into the obvious. Learn more at c3.ai.
In other stories moving the world today, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has signed a bill banning abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy. Democrats who opposed the bill said they believe popular opinion is on their side and that the strict measure could carry political risks in the longtime battleground state. Recent polling there showed a majority of Floridians opposed to further abortion restrictions. While the bill does not take effect immediately, it is poised to significantly limit abortion access in the southern United States, where Florida has been a major abortion provider. Meanwhile, in Washington, the U.S. Supreme Court could soon face a major new abortion test. As soon as today, the Biden administration is expected to ask the court to restore full access to the widely used abortion pill mifepristone after lower courts restricted full use of the medication. It is shaping up to be a key day for pension reform protests in France. Following a day of demonstrations in which protesters stormed the headquarters of LVMH in Paris, the country's Supreme Court is set to rule today on whether President Emmanuel Macron's decision to raise the retirement age without approval by Parliament was constitutional. Journal political correspondent Noemi Biserb is in Paris.
So the court decision is going to be announced towards the end of the afternoon, and several things could happen. The court could decide to, well, approve the bill altogether. It could also decide to strike it down, or it could decide to strike down parts of the bill. It's really very hard to say how things are going to go. We're really a bit in uncharted territory here. If the court sides with the president and decides to approve the main measure, which is increasing the age from 60 to 64, it could discourage some protesters. And they might feel, well, this is over. We've lost that battle. Some union leaders have already said that if the court approves the bill, they will respect that decision. Some other union leaders have pledged to keep fighting. But I think that it would be hard for the protests to keep going, as we've seen in recent months.
and some of Boeing's 737 MAX jets are not cleared for takeoff. The plane maker is pausing deliveries of a number of its MAX jets because of incorrectly installed parts, a move that disrupts a key business line as the company tries to improve its finances. Regulators have strict rules on parts installation, and Boeing said it was in contact with the Federal Aviation Administration over the issue. The delivery disruption comes as Boeing had begun to ramp up MAX deliveries after a prolonged grounding and had outpaced Airbus in total first quarter deliveries. Investors are parsing mixed signals today about the economy and the outlook for inflation. The NASDAQ jumped 2% on Thursday after data showed that U.S. producer prices had unexpectedly fallen in March, and a pair of central bank moves in Asia overnight added to the inflation optimism. But why, then, are investors also piling into gold? Journal reporter Ben Dummett is here with me now to try and make sense of what is going on in markets. Ben, thanks for being with us. Could you sketch out the good news, I suppose, that investors see on the inflation front, and we can look at the gloomier scenarios after that?
Well, you know, in the U.S., as you noted, there was this unexpected decline in the producer price index, which is a measurement of supply conditions. So that's a bullish sign. And then similarly, out of Asia, we got further support of that view from the Bank of Japan governor, who told the group of 20 forum that the bank, you know, is looking to maintain its monetary policy easing stance because they see inflation slowing soon. Japan's consumer inflation was around 3% in February, but is actually expected to fall to below the bank's 2% target toward the latter part of this fiscal year, which started in April. Similarly, the Central Bank of Singapore, they've indicated while inflation isn't going to go away anytime soon, there's certainly a lot of evidence that in the second half of the year, there's no indication there's going to be a discernible increase in inflation.
All right, so that's one view of how things may play out. And yet, how do we then view this news that gold prices hit their highest level of the year in trading on Thursday? That's not what we typically expect to see if investors think inflation is going away, right?
Yeah, that's right to a degree. You know, there is some sense to the apparent mixed signals. You know, gold is considered by some investors, at least, as a hedge against inflation because it seemed to retain its value while other asset classes' value falls in some scenarios. But essentially what the market is saying about gold, or what it's signaling, is that the market doesn't believe that the central banks, the Fed, for example, will be able to bring down the inflation rate to its 2% target this year. So even though there are signals that the pace of inflation is slowing, it's still going to remain relatively high compared to this target level of 2%.
That was Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Dummett. Ben, thanks for the update as always.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
And we'll get further clues on where inflation is headed with the release of U.S. retail sales data later this morning. Bank earnings will also kick off in earnest today, with J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo all reporting results before the market open. Those results will be closely watched by investors looking for signs about whether recent banking turmoil has hurt bottom lines and what all of this could mean for the U.S. economy. And finally, a self-driving car on a Friday evening commute. It's a nice idea, right? Relaxing in the driver's seat with a good book or streaming a little TV. Unfortunately, after billions of dollars in R&D, autonomous vehicles still aren't anywhere near the point that they can replace human drivers. WSJ reporter Bart Ziegler spoke to our colleagues on the Journal's Tech News Briefing podcast about some of the hurdles stopping self-driving cars from chauffeuring us home after a long week at the office.
To be fully self-driving, they need some other systems. Typically, this one called LiDAR, which is a laser-based system that basically shoots out laser beams you can't see, and it creates a map the car can use to safely drive. The other component behind all that is artificial intelligence, and that's where the experts I spoke to said a fair amount of work still needs to be done. To really capture what the human brain does, AI would need to be vastly more sophisticated than it is today. One of the problems is they cannot map every possible scenario of a car and driver. They're what they're called edge cases, such as you're driving and suddenly a dog runs in front of the car. These cars rely on past scenarios, may not know how to handle it. So that's one of the main concerns, how you deal with these edge cases.
And you can hear more about the prospect of self-driving cars in today's episode of our Tech News Briefing podcast. And that's What's News for Friday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI enables rapid access to secure, traceable, hallucination-free insights from enterprise systems, all while using any LLM, helping enterprises turn the invisible into the obvious. Learn more at c3.ai.